Good morning.
That was great what Denise shared. I was just thinking it in my head. God often speaks to me through words. The Bible says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But many of us, if we're honest, we're in the Thomas camp, aren't we? I am. Unless I see it myself, I won't believe it. Because it's hard trusting in stuff you don't see. But the Bible says we've got to have hope and faith. Those of us who stand here at the front, prepare ourselves at home, pray, and we stand up here in faith, hoping that some of what we say finds some rest in people's hearts. It's a faith venture. No, it's not about cleverness, it's about faith. And God has given us a measure of faith. Sometimes we sort of, when we hit tough times, we sort of forget to press the switch that says God will see you through it. And as Denise says, sometimes it's not the way we expect it. I've shared before, but it's a good illustration to share. When I first started courting with Sue, I was working in Staffordshire and I was praying, God, move me, I need to get a different job. I got made redundant. Wasn't the way I saw it happening. But that's how it worked. I got made redundant and ended up living in Manchester. Wasn't exactly how I thought God was going to answer my prayer. I was going to get a new job, wasn't that? 50,000 a day or something in my head. But God had different ideas. Sometimes God does strange things that we don't understand at the time, but we need to trust him. I'm reading from the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. This is what the sovereign Lord showed me. A basket of ripe fruit. What do you see, Amos? He asked. A basket of ripe fruit, I answered. Then the Lord said to me, the time is ripe for my people, Israel. I will spare them no longer. In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, the songs in the temple will turn to wailing. Many, many bodies flung everywhere. Silence. Wow. I am on, aren't I? Yeah, I am on. Book of Amos, I was been thinking about this for a while. Often those of us who come up here and preach, well, me, I don't know the others, I carry a word round for weeks. I think about stuff and stuff's in my head and I'm thinking about it. And these are the verses I've been thinking about for some time. Amos sees this basket of ripe fruit and God says, my people are ripe for judgment. It's quite a weird passage in some ways. A bit of background on Tuesday, we'll be having the discipleship course. Those have signed up. If you want to come along, that's fine. I will be talking about the Bible. That's our opening thing. And we're talking about how we got it, how it's put together, why it's important, why we need to trust it. But in the Jewish understanding, the Bible was split into three parts, really. The law, the writings, and the prophets. And the book of Amos is set in what's called the prophets. We would split them into major and minor prophets. I've said this before, but it's probably worth knowing that the only reason the major prophets are called that is the books are longer. Isaiah 66 chapters, Jeremiah 50 odd chapters. They're called major because the length of the work, and people like Amos, Obadiah, Joel, Hosea, all the 12 minor prophets are smaller books. So major and minor, but in the books of the prophets. Very interesting that Amos is placed in the book of the prophets. And obviously you all say, why is that, Jed, don't you? Why is that? Because we read in chapter 1 that Amos was a shepherd from Tekoa. So he wasn't, if you pardon the language, a professional prophet. Amos was just a normal guy, shepherd, who God spoke to. That gives me hope because it means all of us can hear God speak. We don't have to be signed up to be professional prophets or pastors or teachers. God can speak to all of us. Here's Amos who receives visions. The book split into four visions, really. I think it's 7 chapter 1 round to 8 chapter 3, four visions. And Amos hears from God. Basically, there's a pattern here. If you want to look at it at home, you can. Four different visions. I'm on the last vision in chapter 8. We have this pattern. Yahweh gives the vision or the revelation. Yahweh then questions Amos. So here we are. It's a vision, a basket of fruit given by God. And he says to Amos, what do you see? There's the question. Amos answers, don't really understand what's going on here, but I see a basket of ripe fruit. Then God explains what it means. You can see it, Amos, but actually it's got a different meaning. My people are ripe for judgment, and there's a play on words, they're ripe to the end. And I was thinking about this, thinking, so what does that all mean for us? How many of you were here last week? Wave at me. You're here last week. Okay. When I was leading the meeting last week, I had a real impression, whether it was a vision or an idea of somebody in real desperate pain, almost a picture of somebody crying or in pain. Someone felt broken and rejected. So here's this, if you like, vision or feeling that I had when I was up here last week. And then I felt God say to me, so what are you going to do with it? And the danger for some of us, if you're anything like me, you get very self-conscious and think, I'm not going to say this because maybe it's wrong. Maybe I'll make a fool of myself. Maybe I haven't got it right. And we back off often. Because actually the onus then on me when God says, okay, I've given you something. What's your response? What are you going to do with it? Amos had to go and tell the king that God's saying, you lot are ready for judgment. You might have thought it was great fun being a prophet. Probably isn't if you read the books of the prophets and what they had to do. I was going to go into another illustration, but I won't. I had to decide, do I share it? Do I keep it? Amos had to decide what he did with the vision. And God explained to me, somebody here is really hurting. You need to tell them that actually they're not rejected. And so that's what I shared in the meeting. A couple of people came up to me afterwards, said that was very specific to me, and I'm thinking, thank you. Because sometimes when you're up here, you share stuff and nobody comes. It may be you've gone away and thought, that's for me. It's encouraging sometimes to tell us that we're on the right lines. But Amos had the responsibility. That's my question for you this morning. What do you see? What do you see of God in your life presently? What do you see of the future? Spiritually, I'm speaking now. Here's another easy question for you, I hope. Do we all still believe God can speak to us and show us visions? That's what the Bible says. Probably for me, when I read Joel, it's probably I'm going to dream, I guess, because I'm getting an older man. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. But God still speaks today. We used to sing years ago, didn't we? A very old chorus. God's not dead. He is alive. He's alive and he speaks. See, it's one of our overriding mantras. We're having conversations at the moment with Ian Watson, who's going to look at the health of our church. And one of the things we're often asked is, what is your vision? But we often say here that when we come together, we expect to meet with God. It's part of our mantra. God wants to speak to us, whether we're sat down here, whether we're at home, whether we're in the car. What do you see? As I've said, it's encouraging. Amos was a shepherd. I say this often, but I'll repeat it. The Holy Spirit is available to us all. Holy Spirit's available to us all. Singing this morning, I don't know if you quite get it, Mark said weeks ago, we sing a lot of theology. Spirit, break out, break our walls down. Spirit, break out, heaven, come down. Sometimes we have walls up where God wants to push them down and say, just sit there while I talk to you. And we're so busy rushing round, we're not listening. It's a little bit like Liam, isn't it, Sue? Sometimes you say 3 or 4 times to Liam, do this, and he's not listening. He's on another planet. So that's my grandson, for those who don't know. So I've got 4 questions for you this morning, and we'll go through them. Are you in a position where God can show you a vision or speak to you? Are you in that place where God can speak? Because often we need to be in the right frame of mind and the right action. Faith is about often a frame of mind. Stuff hits us. We can either roll over and go, oh no, woe is me. You know, maybe you're like the prophet Elijah and you sit under a tree and want to die. After he'd had the history of Mount Carmel and called fire down, he went, sat under a tree and said, woe is me, there's only me left, nobody else. Depends where you're at. Are you in a position? Can you cope with not understanding everything? This is one of the things I have trouble with. I like to know everything and I like my facts and I like to get it right. And often God's spoken to me and I sit for weeks thinking, can you tell me a bit more because I don't understand it? And I won't move on until but God's saying sometimes, and I've realised over the years, I've had this revelation, God's not asking me to understand everything. He's asking me to trust him. What do you see, Amos? A basket of ripe fruit. In my head, it was like, so what, God? Big deal. Basket of ripe fruit, that's a great vision, God. Can't you give me anything else? Because he doesn't understand it. Sometimes when God speaks to us, we don't understand it. The Bible says this, here's one for you. To obey is better than sacrifice. But some of us only want to obey when we know what the end result is. So you've got to have faith that God will see you through. You know, like I've said before, one of the silliest men in the Bible, Abraham, set off and he didn't know where he was going. Abraham set off for a city, but he didn't know where he was going. Because God had told him, I'll give you some money. He said, okay, I'll trust you. And while I'm walking along the way, you'll guide me. See, if you don't set off, you won't get there. Will you act on what you see? That's the third question. Will you act on what God tells you? Sometimes, again, I can only use me. I'm the one up here. You feel embarrassed that you, sort of God says, go and say this or share this with Mike or Andrew. And I think, oh, I don't want to do that. Can't you make them come to me? That's how we pray, if you're like me. I'll believe it if he's wearing red socks, God. Or is it only me? It's like that. It's obviously only me. We've got to get a bit more mature, and sometimes in faith, the journey of faith is sometimes this. Right, thus says the Lord. But up here, I'm still panicking. Oh no, I'm going to get it wrong. My heart's beating. Maybe I've not heard from you. Maybe it's not you. And we convince ourselves, logically, we argue ourselves out of it. The journey of faith sometimes a step. Are you willing to share what God's saying to you? Denise was up this morning. It's very brave of her. Some of you, I don't know, think when we're up here it's all easy. It's not. I'm often nervous when I'm preaching. That's a good thing. Shouldn't take the word of God lightly. Last question. Have you learned that he is more important than you are and what you think? See, we get embarrassed and thinking, I don't want to make a fool of myself, but actually it's not about me, it's about him. When God speaks, it's about delivering his word, it's not about me. And the other thing is, I say this to a lot of people who talk to me about spiritual gifts. Did you know you're not responsible for what people do with what you share? They are. So I might go up to Mark and say, you know, God said this to him, and he'll say, oh, it's rubbish, that. It's up to him, isn't it, how he responds. Or he might say, that's fantastic, mate. But we're so self-conscious, we think it's all about us. I've said before, I'm a big John the Baptist fan. He must increase, I must decrease. It's all about him. And then when you share something, you say, right, get up and share and give glory to God. It's about God. It's not about us. It's not about me running about saying, look at me, I'm full of the Spirit. I can walk in the Spirit. I've got spiritual gifts. I've said before, and some of you may disagree, and that's okay. I don't believe spiritual gifts reside in us, I believe we get them and give them away. And we've got to have a fresh source. God gives you a gift, it's to give away, not to keep for yourself. Some of us have words of knowledge. We believe in that. If you read the Bible, it talks about that. But that's not difficult. God is that big word, omniscient. Omni, it means all. He knows everything. So he gives us a little fragment of what he knows in a word of knowledge. Go and say that to that person. Okay, so those are the four questions. So our position, are you spending regular time where you're talking to God? And are you spending any time listening to the answers? Because some of us have got a shopping list a mile long praying. Pray for Auntie Jack, Uncle Jack. Pray for whoever, but are you sitting down waiting for the answers? Denise was saying some answers take time, don't they? Some of you sat here, I know, are praying for things you've been praying for years and not yet resolved. But sometimes God says, suddenly the psalmist says, be still and know. If we believe God speaks, what we've got to do is learn to listen. We've got to develop it. Listening habits. We're putting into Liam all the time, develop at school, listening habits. What have you got in place where you've set aside for time to listen to God? Whether it's prayer, whether it's word, I don't know where you're at with those things. I've said before, it's not about the quantity of time. I used to think if I spent more time praying, God would clearly speak to me. But it's about the quality of time, not the quantity. It might be you've only got a few minutes. It might be you're into a routine of morning and evening praying, or before you go to bed and when you get up, I don't know. But basically, prayer in a nutshell is communication with God, but it's not one-way traffic. You speak to him, he wants to speak to you. What a thing it is for the Holy Spirit to give us information. Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. Wow. That might make us act a bit more like Jesus, mightn't it? Are you in a position where God can speak? Time not just to speak, but to listen. The story of, some of you may not know, the other question I've got down, have you learned to recognise the voice of God? We get all sorts of messages, don't we, if you're anything like me. We've got to recognise when it's God at work and when it's not God, when it's ourselves. Often people can share stuff with us. We've got to, almost like putting stuff in a sieve, shake it up and see if it's God speaking or if it's just the voice of man or woman. Have you learned to recognise God's voice? I don't think I'll use it, but the story is in 1 Samuel 3. Some of you may know it, the story of Samuel, who was working under the priest of Eli. It says, the word of God was rare in those days. And Samuel heard this voice, Samuel, and he ran to Eli saying, speak to me. And Eli said, I haven't called you. And Eli eventually understood it was God. And he said, next time God appears to you, say, speak, for your servant's listening. Have you learnt to recognise the voice of God? Again, Elijah, I was talking about, had an earthquake, he had fire, but it was in the whisper that God spoke to him. Despite the fact God has spoken to him in the past in those ways. Don't get set, this is the only way God speaks to me. You know, God can do new things. Isaiah says, behold, I'm doing a new thing, do you not perceive it? God wants to speak to you in new ways. But your tramlines are, well, it isn't that way, so it can't be God. Maybe Elijah was like that. He wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the fire. Are you in a position where God can speak to you? What do you see? Is God actually moving? Do you have an idea where God's at? What about, maybe you're at home praying and on Sunday you come and share, this is what God's saying. It's a bit risky, isn't it? Can't be having that, the Spirit moving. We'll have to stop that, won't we? See, we're Pentecostal. We believe in the Holy Spirit, don't we? We believe the Spirit speaks to us. It's the greatest thing on earth, to hear God speak and to feel momentum in your life and think, I'm pretty sure that's God. And you're at peace about it and think, I don't care what comes now because God's spoken. See, it gives you solid ground, doesn't it? God has said. The Bible says no word of his will be left void. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my word will remain forever. What's a maybe, like me? Maybe you get yourself a Bible when God spoke to me and I've got a red letter Bible, the words of Jesus, because it's important. What Jesus said is important. Probably the most important figure in history. So what he said, maybe is pretty important. Words of Jesus. Secondly, we don't always understand. Those of you like me, full of logic and head knowledge, you want to know it all. I'll do that, Lord, if you can tell me what's going to happen. What if he doesn't tell you what's going to happen? Are you going to do it? Are you going to trust him? Or just say, well, that's me, down tools, I'm not doing it. A basket of ripe fruit, a play on words. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, who do men say I am? Jesus said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my... It's a play on words, that. Petros and Petra, the word for rock and the word for Peter. Upon this rock, upon you, upon your confession. Play on words here. The same Hebrew word used for ripe fruit is the word for end. Probably, when I've looked this up, somebody else reckons either pomegranates or figs, if you want to know what the fruit was. Don't know how important that is. Amos didn't understand what it was anyway. Take my glasses off to read this next bit. I think it's, the print's too small. We often want to know what revelation is. And I've got down on my notes here, all or nothing. If God gives you a partial revelation, do you run with it or do you say, no, I need to know more? Sometimes we do need to wait and know. But actually God says, the Bible says, faithful in small things, faithful in much. If you're expecting God to tell you in 2 minutes the full contents of the book of Revelation, good luck with that. God sometimes only gives us part information that we need for that moment or that time. See, our lives are changing constantly, and what God needs to give us changes. Different dynamics. As we get older, as we move along, different things happen. Hopefully, I'm more mature now than I was when I first became a Christian. Although in some ways, my initial faith was full of enthusiasm. Many of you know I'm into football. I played football when I was younger. I played football until I was about 55. I only had 2 injuries in my entire football career, both on my right knee. I tore my cartilage and I fractured my patella, my kneecap. I was playing a game and felt this tackle. And then we got a penalty and I said to the guy, I don't think I can take it. I used to take the penalties. So I went off at half-time, went to the hospital and they said, you fractured your patella. I'm like, great. But when I tore my cartilage, playing for Old Beeds, where Mike used to play for, it was when I first came here as a Christian. And I understood some of the teaching about being healed, so I came out for prayer because I tore my cartilage. Like, well, I'd be healed in the hospital. But the only thing I can remember, pray for me at the front, feeling I got anointed with oil because that's what they did back in those days. I recovered quicker than anyone else in the hospital. My faith was at that level that, well, that's what they've said, so it must be true. I was a new Christian. As you get older, sometimes you get a bit cynical. Be careful about that. Be careful. We need to be like children in our faith, don't we? Is it all or nothing you're going to run with part of a revelation? Here's some good news. God wants to speak, and sometimes he's gracious and will tell us things and show us things. He'll tell us sometimes what they mean. But if he doesn't, don't worry. Just go and deliver what he said. I've said to you before, she's not here today, but when people come out here to the front and we often pray for people, and I've learned over the years to step back and say, God, give me something. Otherwise, it's just churning out the same old, God bless you, God will heal you, whatever. What you need is a word from God. So sometimes, I'm stood here one day and God's saying, One word I'm like, you've got to give me more than that. This can't be right. I've got to have at least a psalm or some scripture. I've got to have a couple of sentences here. This is rubbish. And God said, no, that's it. And I spoke to this lady and just said, I've only got one word. God said this to me. And she said, that's absolutely right. And I'm panicking going, that can't be right. I've got to have more than one word. Just one word. One word from God can change your life. Did you know that? One word. Is he speaking to you? What are you doing with it? We don't fully understand everything. Don't panic. It's okay. Are you acting on the revelation? Here's my advice. You'd expect this, but it's probably worth saying. Check it out with the Bible. Maybe you've had too much to drink, or you've been had cheese, or I don't know what's gone on in life, but sometimes we can have weird stuff. Check it out. If it doesn't line up with what the Bible says, guess what? It's not from God. You might say that's a bit strong. Sorry, that's where I'm at. We have a rule book for life and for living. It's called the Bible. And if what you think you're hearing from God is not lining up what the Bible's telling you, it's probably not from God. Because God doesn't contradict his word. So that's our marker, isn't it? And those of us here at the front who preach, I say this often, I'm happy to be challenged on the basis of Scripture. Everything that I say, I'm okay with people coming up saying, what about this verse? Have you thought about that? Got no problem with that at all. We need to be challenged on the basis of the word. We are a word-based church here. We believe the Bible to be the word. I'll say more about that on Tuesday. Are you acting on it? What about prophecy? Some of us move in prophecy. I was in a church once, I shan't name it, a number of years ago, and some guy came out for prayer, and one of the leaders, I won't say names, one of the leaders prayed over them and said, you're going to fall away from God, blah, 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 and this will happen. I'm like, really? Where's that from? I wasn't sure that was from God. There are three simple keys for prophecy according to the Bible. It should exhort, encourage, or edify. I didn't see any of that happening in that. I'm not encouraged saying I'm going to fall away from God. That doesn't encourage me. Check it out. Is it doing what it says on the tin? Or you just receive everything? See, we've got to have that filter, haven't we? Shake it up. See if it's God at work. What about sharing it with someone? Checking out if you feel God's shown you something or said something. Have you gone to somebody else? Checked out. Somebody perhaps a bit wiser. Somebody further along the way. Obviously, the challenge is sometimes we share stuff and people say, I don't agree. It might be God speaking, in which case you've got to have the gumption to say, thank you for your advice. I'm going to do it. Remember this. I've said it often. You can do whatever you like. Not many preachers will tell you that, will they? You can do whatever you like. The Bible says all things are permissible. Not everything is profitable. If you're prepared to stand on the day of judgment before God and said, the leaders told me not to do it and I'm okay doing it, that's fine. Because the responsibility is on you before God. So sometimes you've got to say, thank you for advice. No, as long as when the books are opened, you're happy to say, I remember doing that, God, that's fine. Because God has a record of everything we do and everything we say. That's what the Bible teaches. Where are you at? In sharing with others, will you take advice? Or will you run into something that you end up regretting, going, I wish I'd have listened to that advice. I've done a few of them. This is God speaking, it's going to happen. When I was at Bible College and we had to pay fees, and in those days I had no money, you were praying, you know, and I'd read Yonggi Cho's book and written, you know, you've got to visualise stuff, so I've written checks up in front of my bed, this will happen, this amount. And I said to God, it's got to be by the end of the month, and nothing happened. And I went to see one of the leaders at the Bible College. He said, you stupid boy. Who do you think you are giving God a timescale? I'm like, oh, I was expecting to, you know, be commended for my seeking God. He said, don't be so stupid. because it's not come by the end of the month. Who do you think you are, giving God orders? You just got to trust him. But in my naivety, I'm like, almost a sign, really, by the end of the month. You know, if it doesn't happen by the end of the month. And I learned a lesson. It's like, oh, well, cap it with my cap in my hand, walking like a little schoolboy, thinking, oh, I've been told off here, I'm good and proper. It's all about him. It's not about me. If God's giving you revelation, what a thing it is for God to even bother to turn up and speak to us. What a thing. This is what I think often when we're struggling to get stuff right or wrong. If our motive is to glorify God, it's okay to get it wrong. Did you know that? It's okay to get stuff wrong. Glad we're not living in the Old Testament days. If you're a prophet then and got it wrong, you got stoned to death. Bit harsh that, really, wasn't it? Well, that. So those who are saying, there are prophets today, I'm sure there are, just be careful where you're at in understanding that. I believe it's okay to get it wrong if your motive is to serve God and to glorify him. In a sense, you won't get upset about that, will you? If it's about him and not me, I'm not going to be upset when you say I've got it wrong. I've got this word for you, Mike. He said, don't mean anything to me. It's rubbish, that. I prayed for someone not long ago. He said, I've got this sense, God saying something to me. You've got a problem with your right shoulder. No? Oh, okay. Got it wrong? Because I'm human and fallible. Can get it wrong. It's okay if my motive is to glorify God. It's not about me, is it? Look at me. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I lay hands on people and they fall over. Yeah, I hope they get up different, would be my view on that. It's not about me, it's about him. And if God's doing a real work, it will demonstrate it in what's said and what's done, and what you share. Some people are so full of themselves, God's got no room to get in. I don't want to be one of those people. It's all about him. Sometimes answers won't be instant. It took a while for Jeremiah, what Amos said to come true. But he went and delivered it nonetheless. Sometimes what God shares with you may take a while. Somebody came up to me a while ago and said, you said this about 4 years ago. And I'm like, I can't remember that. You've got no chance. Can't remember last week. Never mind 4 years ago. But what you said's true. And you're like, wow. Difficult. See, we know this stuff, but I'll remind you, God says his ways are not our ways. God says his time scale is not our time scale. Did you know that? Remember, those of you who think the day of the Lord's coming soon, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, Peter says. Hands up if you've been waiting 1,000 years for your answer. Oh, hang on, no. His timescale is different. He sees everything from the beginning to the end, so he knows what's coming next. We don't. Maybe he's got something further down the road and he's hanging on. Shared it before, but it's a great example. I think it's Acts 16. It says, Paul wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit forbade them. What, you mean preaching the gospel's not a good thing? No, Paul, I've got something better for you. Colin Urquhart says, it's a phrase I used a lot, the good is the enemy of the best. God's got something better for you. That's why he's holding off, and you're saying, I can't see it. Breaking news, you're not God. He can see everything. Is this making any sense? I hope so. Okay, we're nearing the end. God often sends angels in the Bible. Any of you know what the word angel means in the Greek? I'm not good on Hebrew, but I'm good on Greek. Anyone know what angelos means? Fingers on the buzzer. You're all frightened now, you get it wrong, aren't you? I've just said it's okay to get it wrong. Messenger, well done, Michael, go to the top of the class. Simply means messenger. I've had a look on YouTube this week. I've been, you know, getting distracted, think you've got to be having me on. looking at stories of people who say they've met angels. I thought that was only James Blunt who said he'd met an angel, but that's just my head. And they're into describing the angels to the nth degree. My understanding is an angel's a messenger. What they come to bring points to who sent them and what the message is. It's not about them, it's about whoever sent them. I've said it before, again, I'm throwing things out that stick here, it's just the way my head works. There are only two angels named in the Bible. So all these who've met angels and have got the name, that's very interesting. I only know of two named in the Bible, in the entire 66 books. Michael and Gabriel. And the Hebrew El is a form of God's name anyway. El Elohim. So all these people who've met these angels, their focus, their books and their stories about how the angels look, what their appearance was, how glorious they were. Whoa, I get it, but I don't. They're messengers. I'm more interested in the one who sent them than they themselves. Don't get into angel worship. Go and read us. It's Psalm 8, I think it is. Going from memory. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him. You made him a little lower than the angels, but you've crowned him with glory. Us. We have got the option of salvation. They haven't got in that sense. They're just servants. What a thing. I think it's Psalm 8. I'm finishing. What do you see? Are you in a position where God can speak to you? Are you going to do anything with what he shares? Are you going to be bold enough? I used to sing a song, I'm full of old songs in my head, just the way it is. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. From the book of Joshua. God says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. That was an act to follow, wasn't it, Moses? You can imagine the Israelites going, oh, you've got no chance of following him. You're not going to lead us. If you know the story well, there are only two guys who went out, the 12 who came back with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. The two who came back with a good report. Linda's at the back there, I'm thinking of that song. 12 men went to spy out Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. It's a Sunday school song. Book of Joshua. Be bold. Be bold in walking in the Spirit. I encourage you this morning, look for God to show you stuff and to speak to you. Because we said at the start, we believe God still speaks today, didn't we? He's in the business of speaking to you. What do you see? I hope you see God at work in your life. Thank you for listening.